Also, thank you for the partnership with the city. Having the Sunday Parkway and the movies in the park as part of the EPO Expo made a huge difference. I mean, your engagement makes a big difference. And I wanted to thank you for something that you probably didn't even know you did. And that is that one of the things that came out of the East Portland Action Plan's grant program was that people were applying for grants, and because of that, we asked them to work together on the EPO Expo, and so that was one of the reasons why we had such the big multicultural presence there this year. The Northwest, between EPO Expo and the Northwest Housing Alternatives Multicultural Share Fair and the Tree Institute, that was all came because of that synergy between your funding, our grant program, and then our grant program seeing an opportunity. So that's a good thing. And because it's becoming more multicultural, I want to emphasize that what Mark said about being able to advertise, we need a communication plan that is multicultural, and I know that folks are working on that. I just want to reiterate that that's really important. Just since I'm here, a slight non sequitur in that you're probably always going to hear this from me. I understand equity reporting by neighborhood is starting to happen, and I'm pleased about that. I just want to encourage you to continue with that, and that we of course, want to see it and see how it operates. So thank you. Thank you so much. It's a wonderful event. It's come into fruition very quickly and become an institution in just a couple years. Thank you.
I'd just like to close by saying that it really has been an honor and a privilege for me to be able to bring this event to the city. When I was walking around the event, I had been told by some of the volunteers that some of the kids in our neighborhood had never seen a bouncer before. They'd never been on one. So be able to bring those things to the kids in our neighborhood and all the other kids that were there was really, really a wonderful thing. And then also the interaction and the socialization that was going on with the different cultural groups that was there. And truly, I think it's a very wrong assumption that went, well, let me backtrack. When I hear people say that Portland is nothing but white faces, it really, really bothers me. I know that to not be true. I just have to walk down my street and any street in East Portland and have a very clear idea that that is not true. And to be able to represent that in such a big manner and to be able to give these individual groups the opportunity to share with everyone what it is that makes them special was really a great, great honor. I'm hoping that the event becomes like the multicultural event in the city where people know that they can go and come and get a very broad experience from just about any culture that there is. And I'm really going to try and focus really big time on that for next year. So again, I'd like to emphasize what Katie said, that this really was made possible by your help, by your participation, by your interest and just commitment to making sure that East Portland is as much a part of the city as everywhere else, despite the fact that we've only been a part of it for 20 years or so. So I really, really appreciate that. And I hope that people keep the third weekend in July on their calendar. We're in between the Blues Festival and the Brew Fest, and that was done on purpose. July 16th and 17th of next year. Thank you very much.
Mark Cabin, I too want to echo the thanks for your sacrifice and your persistence. It's a great event.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Thank you. All right. Sue, can you please read the title for 1153?
1153? And that is authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Portland Public Schools and TriMet to continue the student transit pass project.
I apologize, but we were not going to accept the report on East Portland.
It's not a
it was a presentation, so we don't. There wasn't an actual documented report to accept.
I actually had something I wanted to say. I apologize.
Go ahead and say it.
On the report to Mark. Is Mark still here?
Yeah.
Mark, I've been involved intimately in East Portland politics for a long time, and you are have increasingly shown up on my radar screen as the singular most effective leader I have seen in East Portland, and that comes from representing East Portland in the legislature and being on the council. And I hope others watch how you do things and emulate your approach, because I find it extremely effective, not just what you did here, but on a number of other issues, whether it's the streetcar or whatever. And I just want you to know you really risen in my view as an outstanding leader in the entire city, not just East Portland. So I really appreciate your work. Thank you.
High praise indeed. Did we read it?
Oh, we didn't quite get to the end, but I'll just pick up. This is for the Student Transit Pass Project to offer fareless public transportation for high school students at Portland Public Schools.
Mayor Adams, Commissioner, for the record, my name is Reese Lord, and I'm a member of the Mayor's Education Team. Thank you for the opportunity to bring this item before Council. A number of folks are here to testify as to the benefits of Youth Pass and why City Council should unanimously approve this measure. I just wanted to provide a brief overview to start off with. As you may recall, this is the fourth time we've brought Youth Pass before Council. Your support in the past has allowed this idea to blossom from an idea or a pilot at two high schools to last year's expansion to all 13,000 PPS high school students. The intergovernmental agreement before you renews the program for this fall with the intent to file an application for continued funding in 2011. The structure of the program leverages existing Portland Public School transportation funding as well as the state business energy tax credit to cover the full cost of the program. No city funds are used to pay for the operation of the program. We continue to look for ways to expand the program to other school districts in Multnomah County and East County. This past fall, we met with representatives from Park Rose, David Douglas, and Centennial School Districts. Unfortunately, those school districts decided not to commit to the program, given the fiscal climate combined with a lack of transit capacity in East County. The Multnomah Youth Commission is working on a project to study the transit capacity in East County as a precursor to expansion of the program there. Youth Pass is an inherently efficient system. It leverages our world-class transit system to provide students access to and from school, but also to work, extracurricular activities, and community events. It also saves money from nonprofits and social service agencies who often provide students with bus tickets and passes in order to access these important services. I want to thank the Multnomah Youth Commission, TriMet, the Portland Public Schools for their partnership in this endeavor and their testimony here today and support. Barring any questions, I'd like to introduce one of our key partners, Carolyn Young from TriMet.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Carolyn Young, Executive Director of Communications and Technology for TriMet. We're very happy to be a participant again this year in a partnership for this program. The program has been very successful in providing transportation options for students in the Portland Public School District. Many of those students are low income and transit dependent, and this has been a tremendous help to get those students to school. The research shows that the students make very good use of their TriMet passes. In fact, students who have the passes ride much more often than the average adult with a monthly pass. And based on our surveys and our onboard ridership statistics, we found that there is an increase in ridership of students to and from school, but there's a much bigger increase in ridership for non-school trips, such as after-school activities, going to work, fully participating in the other things that kids do in our city. So the agreement before you only goes through December, but we're fully committed to filing the pre-application to continue the BESI program, keeping an eye on what happens to that program, and are committed to this partnership to find a sustainable way to continue this student pass program. So very happy to be here today. Thank you.
Well, Carolyn, I wanted to underscore our thanks to TriMet for being a great partner in this, and specifically to you, because you've been the key person at TriMet to help bring this idea from the Multnomah Youth Commission to fruition. And so thank you very much.
Hi. Thank you, Mayor Adams and Commissioner members.
You move that
scoot
mic.
This over. My name is Andy Leibenguth. I'm with Portland Public Schools. I'm actually the interim director of student transportation for Portland Public Schools. I want to really thank Carolyn Young as well. She has been a great help with TriMet to actually get this program going and really provide that opportunity for our youth to be able to navigate the city, not only to get to school, but also the other enrichment opportunities that are available throughout the city. This opens the door for them to have access to schools of their choice, as well as work, extracurricular activities, everything that is available within this city and the great transit program that we do have. I would like to thank the Multnomah Youth Commission for, as well, helping spearhead this effort to get us here. This is an outstanding opportunity for our students at Portland Public Schools, and I really appreciate the fact that we can get here and continue this program. Not only does it serve our high school students at our core high schools, but I also want to note that it does serve all of our education option students, which are our students that are of the biggest risk of losing in the school system. We never provided support to them before. It is this outstanding opportunity for them to actually have this ability so that they can reach the schools, which is what we've heard is the biggest barrier for them to be able to get to these education option schools was transportation. With these passes, it allows them to be able to get to school, and is a great thing for them. We look forward to continuing this program with the BETC funding that is in question. We look to work with our partners at the city and at TriMet to be creative in ways to make this a sustainable program that our youth can have for the years to come. Thank you.
Thank you for you're willing to invest in this program. You have put cash into the effort from the Portland Public School Districts, and that has been leveraged by the good work at TriMet and the BETC credit, so thank you as well.
Thank you.
Great. I'd like to call forward Catherine Westmoreland from the Multnomah Youth Commission and Uma Abdullah, a PPS student, to give their perspective.
Thanks again. Thanks. Welcome to City Council. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
If you could get as close to the mic as possible and just give us your first and last name and which school you're affiliated with, we're glad you're here.
My name is Catherine Westmoreland. I'm on the Multnomah Youth Commission, and I go to David Douglas High School.
My name is Umul Kher, also known as Uma Abdullahi, and I go to Madison High School, and I'm also a part of the Youth Commission.
So first of all, we'd just like to thank you for your support from the beginning of this program, really, because without the support of City Council and PPS and TriMet, this program never would have been able to happen without any one of these key players. So from the beginning, it's been our goal to have free public transportation for all youth in Multnomah County and the city of Portland, and that continues to be our goal. And so far, we have all of Portland Public School District. Every single youth that goes to one of those high schools receives this program, Youth Pass. And it is a great program for each and every student that receives it. But there are 45% of the youth that go to school in Portland live in East Portland, so they don't receive this program. And that is what we want to work on in the future, is to help expand this program and get it to those students eventually. And on the Youth Commission, the Sustainability Committee, that continues to be one of our very strong efforts that we want to support. And we have begun talking with Senator Merkley's office and working with them to explore some federal funding for this program and for transportation in general, especially in East County. And we're doing a study kind of the transportation in East Portland and doing a little mapping project from where youth live and where they need to go in East Portland to figure out what those transportation barriers are over in East Portland. And so we plan to share this information with TriMet to better the transportation services in East County, which will make the services there more accessible to the youth as well. And so we continue to have that goal to have all youth in Portland and Multnomah County to be able to receive this program eventually. And so we would like to thank you for your support that you have given us and just ask for your support again, because this is such a great program and it's building early writers now that want to help make the community better, and are, it helps youth now to engage in services of the city, and that'll make them want to participate more when they are adults. And so it's just helping everyone. So thank you.
Thank you.
I'd first like to start out by saying that I used to go to Park Rose my freshman year, and I did not have access to the youth pass. I felt that it was very difficult for me to get around. Actually, looking back, I really noticed that the youth pass has changed things like me writing TriMet, but also getting involved, because I know that I have something to fall back on. I come from a huge family, so I don't have a car to take me anywhere, but I know that I can just get on TriMet with my youth pass, and it'll get me where I need to be on time. I use it for school, NYC meetings, and going to work. And I'm happy to say that having something like a youth pass really, really did change my life, and I want you guys to know that you're definitely supporting a good cause. I know that speaking for a lot of youth, having people like the commissioner and mayors and everyone saying that, you know, we're giving you this, something as, you know, a budget as big as this, saying that we are investing in your future because we believe that you guys can do something tomorrow, and here's how we are going to support you. It's not just saying, oh, do good, but you're really showing us that you want us to go somewhere with our lives, and I'd just like to say thank you for that much.
Well, thank you all. We really appreciate your advocacy. This is just one of many ways that the Multnomah Youth Commission has improved Portland, a piece of Portland, soon all of Portland, and hopefully the entire county, on the issue of transport access, affordable transportation access, transit access. So thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to testify on this matter? Sue, would you please call the vote?
Saltzman.
Well, thank you for your testimony. It's very, we always appreciate having members of the Youth Commission here and appreciate the Youth Commission being the original advocate for this idea. So here we are into year two. Anyway, but I know the Youth Commission was the inspiration for this whole idea, and it's glad that we're here to make it continue to operate. It sounds like a great success. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you to TriMet and Portland Public Schools, to the Mayor's Office, and to the Multnomah County Youth Commission. It was actually the young women at Jefferson High School with the Sisters in Action for Power who started this movement to say, you know, it shouldn't be so hard for kids to get to school, and especially if they live beyond walking distance and don't have a car to drive. I have a wonderful intern in my office this summer, Serena Gomez, who goes to Marshall High School. She tells me it takes an hour to get to school on the transit system near Marshall High School. So if you add an hour each way and then have to pay for it as well, it becomes a significant disincentive to get to school on time and to do the work. Of course, Serena is a wonderful example of triumphing over that. But there's a lot of challenges that youth have to face today, challenges that I didn't have to face when I was in high school. And I thank you for your diligence, for your perseverance, and we're very happy to invest in your future by helping with this program. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank Reese Lord and Todd Diskin, Kali Ladd as well, in my office, part of the education team, for helping take the pilot and expand it to the entire Portland Public School District, and for your persistence in moving it to all districts within the county. This will be on our legislative agenda to get help from our local delegation to make it easier for TriMet to expand both the service and these passes countywide. So more to come. Thank you. Aye. So approved. Can you please read regular agenda item number 1176, emergency ordinance?
And city code to prohibit persons from McCoy Park if they're excluded from New Columbia properties or Tamarack apartments under a Housing Authority of Portland notice of exclusion.
Commissioner Nick Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. Sue, are you going to hand out that sheet? I believe the mayor wants to say something before we
Oh, really?
Begin.
Okay. I want to...
Another sheet.
Oh, thanks. I want to join with my colleagues in recognizing that Mark Warrington is retiring to the beautiful Hawaiian Islands after how many years of service?
12.
12 years of service here in the city government. He has done a fantastic job, and I don't know why you picked Hawaii. Maybe it's the weather. I don't know. But we're going to miss you, and this is an opportunity for us to officially say thank you. Job incredibly well done.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate that.
And, Mark, we've passed out the notice of your farewell celebration for Friday, August 27th here at City Hall, and we'll make sure that everyone knows about that and wants to come by and wish you well. Before I turn it over to you, Mark, I want to do just a brief preliminary remarks, if I could. Following the tragic shooting of Billy Moore earlier this summer in the New Columbia, Mayor Adams provided hands-on leadership to help the community work effectively across jurisdictions to find solutions to both that crisis and to a number of other issues in the community. The Parks Bureau was pleased to be one of several government and community-based partners who came together to take steps to improve the safety of McCoy Park and the whole New Columbia community. Public safety is obviously a top priority of my bureau and, in fact, all of our city bureaus. In addition to implementing a number of positive programs and recreational opportunities for the community at McCoy Park and at the University Park Community Center, we also work with the ONI crime prevention staff on CEPTEB, which is crime prevention through environmental design improvements, which made a huge difference to McCoy Park by opening up sight lines and discouraging activity in places that were camouflaged, working with the Police Bureau, the Housing Authority of Portland, and private security on public safety enhancements for the community. This ordinance is just one element of a number of community safety efforts that we have launched. It provides simply that persons whose conduct has caused them to be excluded from the New Columbia properties would also cause them to be prohibited from being in McCoy Park. The proposed code change is intended to prevent persons from using McCoy Park as a safe haven to continue their unlawful or disruptive conduct. I'm going to turn it over to Mark Warrington, who has done a marvelous job, as the mayor indicated, for the last 12 years, handling all of our security matters, to tell you briefly, colleagues, what the ordinance does. And we have a number of partners that are here to also share their perspective on the proposed code change. Mark, welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner, and good morning, Council. As always, Portland Parks and Recreation wants to do everything possible to have safe and welcoming parks for everyone. Each city park has its own unique public safety needs. And McCoy Park is unique in that it is totally surrounded by the New Columbia Housing Development, which is owned by Housing Authority of Portland. The problem has been that persons are allowed to be in the park even after they've been expelled or excluded from the New Columbia community for their unlawful or disruptive conduct. In other words, they were able to use McCoy Park as a sanctuary or a safe haven and remain in the middle of the community that they'd just been excluded from. Working as a team, police, parks, ONI, Housing Authority of Portland, and others developed a solution, this ordinance, to use as a specialized tool to make public safety at McCoy Park as best we can. I urge you to pass this ordinance to help improve community safety and livability at the New Columbia development.
Next up is Mike Schmerber, who is a Portland Police Bureau street officer who is assigned to the New Columbia. Welcome, officer.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor Adams and City Council. My name is Michael Schmerber. I've been a police officer here in the city for 10 years. I'm currently assigned to North Precinct, and I've been assigned to New Columbia Detail for about a year now. What I'm going to cover is the current exclusion from the viewpoint of from our side and how it's ineffective, essentially ineffective in New Columbia. The observation of the officers assigned to New Columbia details that exclusion program is an extension of the people's voice, essentially, in the New Columbia. We are very aware of the history of the old Columbia Villa and the stigma that it placed on this community. The current residents in this area are striving every day to get over that and develop this area into a strong family community, and this is a vital tool that needs to be addressed. When the new Columbia was built in 2005, the exclusion program went really in effect in about 2007, and however, in the last 3 years, the current status of the exclusion program has fallen short of its original intent. And the reason for this is exclusion boundaries defining the boundaries are complex. And this occurs when you have housing authority property, you know, park property, and city property, which are all separate exclusions within themselves. This creates confusion with an excluded person regarding where they're allowed to be and where they're not allowed to be. Secondly, if you are excluded from HAP property, you have full access to the McCoy Park and to the public sidewalks, and vice versa. If you're excluded from McCoy Park, you have full access to the public sidewalks in New Columbia. The only way to get around this is you have separate entities where if you're excluded, you have to commit a crime or violate a code in each of areas for you to be excluded from both. This complexity of this exclusion creates a loophole where the excluded person can adapt to the current system by moving their criminal behavior to McCoy Park or the other way around. This exploitation of these loopholes, they use this to their advantage. An example of this is where we've identified three individuals who are associated with one another. They all have been excluded themselves, and they all have a vast criminal record. Collectively, they've been involved in the following incidents. They've been involved in 2 robberies, 6 warrants, 4 incidents involving illegal weapons, 8 assaults, 1 alleged sex assault, 6 violations of the exclusion, 1 incident regarding gang activity, and 4 curfew violations, and 7 thefts. These 3 specific individuals are also associated with the local gang of the Columbia Villa Crips. Due to the exclusion being ineffective in itself, it empowers its violent criminal behavior. It encourages individuals to continue their gang association, which induces fear into the community under the cover of a family park, because the current exclusion allows them to do this. I will basically conclude that the New Columbia is a diverse community with homeowners, renters, and it has a representation of many different cultures, families, and children. I believe it is our responsibility as law enforcement, city government, and citizens of Portland to let the people's voice of New Columbia be heard, that the stigma of the old Columbia Villa is no longer acceptable. The residents of New Columbia no longer want to live in a fear of a select few. And it is a community with a family environment which has values, rules, and they want the residents to adhere to certain guidelines. By changing this exclusion, it will close this loophole that is easily manipulated. It will be easier to understand, and lastly, it will let the people in New Columbia thrive. Thank you.
Thank you, Officer, and thank you and your entire team working with Parks and Housing Authority of Portland. Thank you for your great partnership and great work on New Columbia.
Mayor, next up is Angela Wagnon.
Were we going to have questions for the panel?
I thought we'd do it all three and then take questions. And then we have one other panel commissioner. Angela Wagnon, who is from ONI and Crime Prevention. Welcome.
Okay. Good morning, Mayor, and good morning, commissioners. My name is Angela Wagnon, and I'm a crime prevention coordinator with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. I work with 8 neighborhoods in North and Northeast Portland, which includes Portsmouth, where New Columbia and the Tamarack Apartments are located, as well as McCoy Park. I'm here this morning to represent ONI Crime Prevention to show our support for this proposed ordinance change to include McCoy Park and the HAP exclusion agreement that currently exists for New Columbia and Tamaracks. New Columbia and Tamarack Apartments are participants in the Enhanced Safety Properties Program. This ONI Crime Prevention Program is a partnership between landlords, tenants, crime prevention, staff, and the police bureau. The program is designed to encourage and support landlords and property managers to take measures to keep their properties safe and livable. Timely information regarding police calls for service is provided to these property managers so that they can act accordingly to keep criminal activity off their property. A minimum requirement for management practices in this program is to have exclusion criteria that is enforced by the police bureau. This exclusion is an important tool not only to limit criminal activity, but it also protects the safety and livability of the residents. The residents of New Columbia and the Tamarack Apartments have the good fortune of having a really fantastic City of Portland Park right in the middle of their neighborhood. I see the park regularly, and it is always a hub of activity, with children playing, parents visiting, and neighbors enjoying that amazing green space that they have. These neighbors need to feel safe knowing that individuals who are excluded from these residences will be excluded from McCoy Park as well. This thriving park should not be a safe haven from individuals who threaten the safety and livability of this community. Thank you.
So, Officer, the question I have is, generally, I have not supported approaches that are exclusions from specific area in and of themselves. For example, prostitution-free zones, drug-free zones, I've never supported, which doesn't mean I think we should allow prostitution or drug use. I have not only supported but initiated efforts to have the city pay for more jail beds to the county so we have places to put people who are arrested for criminal behavior. And I've supported and initiated programs to divert those individuals from criminal behavior by treating their addictions, which generally underlies some of that behavior. So the question that I have is, why do we think that excluding these individuals from McCoy Park will eliminate criminal activity? It will certainly eliminate criminal activity in McCoy Park, but it'll be displaced to someplace else. These folks aren't going to just say, well, I'm going to quit robbing and hanging out with gangs because I can't be in McCoy Park. They'll continue to exhibit that behavior, but do it somewhere else. What is unique about this approach that addresses that concern?
Well, I don't think there's anything that's foolproof that's going to be the end-all that will end crime. It would be one provincial thing that's going to end it, anything at all. What it's going to do is, it's such a complex issue because you have, like I said earlier, you have the housing authority property, which is usually the grass area of the front of the house, the grass area of a sidewalk, you have public sidewalks, and you have the park. So when you exclude someone out of the New Columbia, they can't be on the grass area of, in the area of the house. So they literally can take one step forward and be on the public and on the public sidewalks. So you essentially didn't even solve the problem. And we're talking about people who have committed crimes or they've committed some kind of violation of the city code. Basically, people who've done something wrong in the area that violates the community that this place is trying to, you know, get up and going. And I think what the problem is when you start excluding these people from the housing authority property, they just go over to McCoy Park. And like any other park in the city of Portland, it's a thriving area for violent crimes to occur, and it has, you know, for gangs to thrive as well. And the issue with this park, it is at the heart of this community. You have, like Angela said, it has a amount of children in there. You have a community that's trying to establish itself in there. And then you have, you know, parents are walking their kids in there. It's a thriving place. And so if you essentially just shove the problem over there, you're going to have basically these people are going to leave. And then you're going to have that old stigma of the old Columbia Villa coming back, where you basically just shove the problem to McCoy Park. So there, with this, I believe it will be an incentive for the people to move out and just move some, you know, get out of the New Columbia, which I at least think is the bigger issue, because this is the issue that we need to sprout up. And I think this will streamline that whole issue.
And being intimately familiar with Columbia Villa and the problems associated with that, and now what we're trying to do in the new version of Columbia Villa, I probably am more persuaded by an exclusionary approach than I might otherwise be. But it still doesn't address the problem of people who are engaged in criminal activity are then going to go somewhere else and engage in criminal activity. And so I get this might be actually a question for Commander Ferraris or Chief Reese, but we've employed a successful approach on 82nd Avenue in Old Town using the service coordination team, where you target individuals and you just basically make it clear to them they're either going to jail or they're going to clean up their behavior by going into treatment or doing a number of alternative things. Have we attempted any of those approaches with these specific individuals?
We have a gang outreach that's prevalent in the area. And then New Columbia has its crews, which is their version of the gang outreach. They're very intimate with these individuals. Us officers are in there, are trying to develop these community relationships with these individuals from juveniles all the way up to the adults. So we're not just going in there and just hooking people up and taking them away. We're trying to develop the livability of the area by telling people that your current, what you're doing in there is not proper because of these reasons. So we're trying to change behavior as well. But when there are some people like the three I mentioned before that just don't get it, that no matter what we do, no matter who we present in front of them to help them advocate to get out of the position they're in, they ain't going to do it. This is a tool that probably will help them to get out of the area, either by arresting them or getting them into a different facility that will help them get out of this. But this, the way it's set up now, the New Columbia, I'm sure as all you are aware of, it has ample opportunities for people to go back to for help. And like I said, our approach in the police bureau is developing the community relationships in there. We have our gang outreach, our gang officers working there. I can list forever what we have in there to change the behavior. But I think this approach is the one tool that just streamlines this whole issue where there's, like I said, the three individuals that they don't care what we do, and basically they'll just go anywhere they're going to, you know, do whatever they want because they don't care about the police. They don't care about the livability of the area. I think this is the issue where we kind of have to put it down and say this is the law now. This is the rule of New Columbia. The people have spoken, and this has to stand.
So may I follow up on your question? So does that mean that if we add the park exclusion, what happens if one of these individuals is in the park? What does that give you the tool to do?
Essentially, they're going to be trespassed from the area, so they'd be arrested for a trespass.
So it gives you another tool to arrest.
Exactly. And I think before that, at least since I've been there a year, our approach has been, lack of a better word, we're giving people a lot of latitude. We explain the rules, explain why their behavior is wrong. This is the correct behavior. You keep doing this, and this is going to happen. And we give people plenty of room and understanding of what actions we take are going to be, why they're going to be taken that way. And I think when the arrest finally occurs, we've exhausted all other avenues in that.
Commissioner Fritz. Sorry, Fish.
Thank you, Mary. So I very much appreciate this discussion because I, too, have concerns about any approach which simply displaces a problem. And I also share concerns of my colleague and friend Randy Leonard about any strategy which unfairly or even unconstitutionally targets one group. Those are important questions. And I guess for me it's helpful, Mark, to step back for a second and have you very briefly describe what existing exclusion policies we operate at parks today. On what basis can you be excluded from any park? And second, to the extent we're proposing that a decision by HAP would be adopted by us as a grounds for an exclusion, what due process rights would someone have if they feel they've been unfairly designated?
Thank you, Commissioner. We take very seriously any measure that would exclude somebody from the free and open use of parks. If I may, if I heard Commissioner Leonard's question, the intent here with exclusions from McCoy Park is to remove the forum, the stage, folks that have demonstrated through their conduct that they've been excluded from housing authority properties there. Our intent is to prevent them from being able to go in, whatever they're selling or doing, whether it's intimidating or selling drugs or whatever their conduct is. We don't want to provide a place for that right in the middle of the places they've been doing it before. In all the other prevention programs, whether it be law enforcement-based prevention programs and especially recreation programs to truly prevent young people from going down the wrong avenue, all those things are in place still. The citywide standard exclusion scheme for parks and recreation, all city parks, has been tested over the years. They have opportunity for due process. They can appeal those. They can go to the commissioner for relief. And likewise, with this ordinance, again, it's very specific to McCoy Park, they can appeal to Housing Authority of Portland. They have an appeals process. And as far as the park portion of this, because it's really a dual exclusion, they can petition the Commissioner of Parks for... if they have just cause, they can state their case and get relief for any or all of that exclusion from the commissioner.
If I can be clear on that point, I do not want my position to be misunderstood to be one of me being concerned that certain groups might feel they're overly targeted. That is not my concern. I have demonstrated since I've worked on these kinds of issues that I have little sympathy to people, whether they be under the influence of drugs or alcohol or just criminal behavior, who target other people. My point is I like to see them in jail because my experience has been that's what actually gets their attention, especially if you keep putting them in jail consistently, which has meant we've had to go to the county and develop agreements with the county to pay them to have jail beds, which I've been willing to do and I'm continuing to willing to do. I'm also open to providing treatment to people who get arrested for a variety of reasons to help them get to the core issue that motivates their criminal behavior. I am not concerned about people being excluded because they may feel they're being picked on. That is not my issue. My issue and my sole issue is what I don't like to see us do is make one community feel better to the expense of another community. Because what's happened every time we've had a prostitution and drug-free zone is that we start, the people within that zone love it, the people next door start writing us and telling us, all of a sudden I'm seeing huge influxes of prostitution or drug dealers or drug use. So my experience has been, and I think our own success has been, that where we go in and deal with those individuals directly by using all the tools law enforcement has. You drop a piece of paper on the ground, we're going to arrest you. Whatever you do that violates the law, we're going to arrest you, and you're going to go to jail, and that's the game that we're going to play until you figure out to change your behavior or get treatment. That has been the most effective way we've dealt with these issues. For an example, in Old Town, I think the stat is nearly 40% drop in crime since we implemented that approach, the service coordination team approach, to drug dealing in Old Town. It's the business owners down there will tell you it's the difference between night and day, and it is because of this approach, not displacing it to other communities.
So if I can just, I want to sharpen, though, the focus here, because I very much appreciate the idea of using the 82nd Avenue approach here with police. I think that's great. I also personally am open to any law enforcement strategy that would augment. I think, though, when this came up, I thought it was one thing and then had some discussions and wanted to make sure that the advocacy community and particularly some lawyers had looked at this and that I understood the legal issues. And I don't want to just overly generalize, but Mark, my understanding of what was before the council is that we have an existing policy that the city has supported of allowing, under certain circumstances, people to be excluded from a park for engaging in certain kind of conduct. And we have rules that say how you can challenge that. So that's existing policy. What this would say is if the housing authority, which operates all the land around the park, has issued an exclusion order, and they have a pretty high bar. Remember, this is the federal government, so the due process issues for them. I mean, that's why for HAP it's hard to evict someone because you have to go through a very rigorous procedure. What we're saying is if they've excluded someone, which is a very high bar, we would adopt that exclusion as a basis to exclude them from McCoy Park, but we would then give them anybody the right to challenge that exclusion. But we would simply adopt the housing authority determination as a basis for our exclusion.
You said it perfectly. And the housing authority will testify here in a minute. And I believe they will outline, this is not for minor violations, this is for serious criminal misconduct.
The point is, I'm prepared, if the council wishes at some point, to take up the broader question of exclusions and other policies. I think we actually should periodically go back to those, because I don't know how my colleagues feel about that, and I've inherited a number of these policies. But this one, as I got into it more, seems to be more narrowly cast. It simply says if HAP has made an exclusion, we would use that as a basis to use our authority to exclude. And we've worked with advocacy community to make sure there's a due process component so we don't do this thing in some random or discriminatory way. And that's what's before the council. And the view is that bad actors in the community should not be able to find the safe haven in the park. Now, bad actors should be arrested and go to jail. I agree with Commissioner Leonard, but I'm not in charge of the police bureau. So we're looking at this as a way to work with the police bureau to deal with the problem. The larger police bureau response is really for the mayor and Chief Reese to address.
So we have another panel.
We have two other people, Mayor.
Okay. Who are they?
Ben Wickham from HAP, and Ben will also introduce a resident from HAP who's graciously joined us today just to share briefly her experience. Thank you, Mark.
And then, can
Commissioner, it looks like we have some public testimony as well, including somebody with some young men with her who've been incredibly well-behaved throughout this hearing, so I hope we can get to their testimony shortly.
Ben, would you kick off and introduce our guest, please?
Yes. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. First of all, I really want to thank Mayor Adams and Commissioner Fish for your support of New Columbia during a tough summer in view of events that we've had on behalf of the Housing Authority. And with me is Ida Cunningham. She's a resident who lives adjacent to the park, so I'll let her make a few comments in just a moment. Much has been said very, very well by the panel that preceded me, but really McCoy Park is in a unique situation for city parks since it is surrounded by our affordable housing community of New Columbia. And a lot of the folks living in our housing are dealing with a lot of life challenges. And so it's a more sensitive community, perhaps, than some others. McCoy Park is really the centerpiece of New Columbia. On August 3rd, we had National Night Out. We had probably over 1,000 people from the community that got together, enjoyed food, music, and Mayor Adams stopped by. We enjoyed that. So it was a great event. It was wonderful. People enjoyed it.
It was a fantastic event. Yeah. It was just mobbed with people. It was wonderful.
We fed a lot of folks that night. At the same time, McCoy Park is one of our biggest challenges at New Columbia because we have folks from outside the community who have some ties to the community that come there. Perhaps it's a perpetrator of domestic violence who wants to intimidate and harass the victim. Could be drug dealers wanting to set up shop. Maybe we call them gangbangers who are wanting to set up some territory. And one of our essential tools is to be able to exclude people who have participated in this kind of behavior from the New Columbia property. That's a powerful tool because then the officers can arrest them if they show up again, even if they aren't carrying out some visible criminal activity. We know that's probably what they're there for. So they're known to us to bring criminal activity to the neighborhood. They are well aware of the rules. They very well know that McCoy Park is a place where they can go, and we can't enforce the exclusion. So here it is, the center of our community, but we have no recourse for some of these known people. We know who they are. We see them coming in. And so this ordinance would really be a very powerful tool for us to, for those who are intent on bringing criminal behavior to New Columbia, because of their ties to the community, it'd be a powerful tool for us to keep them out, and the officers can send a strong message that we're not going to tolerate these kinds of folks in our community. And I quickly want to read, we had Karen Cox, who is the homeowner representative on our Owners Association board. She was here but had to leave. She says, this park is supposed to be a centerpiece of the community. Allowing individuals who have proven disregard for our community's safe haven in the park sends the wrong message. Speaking on behalf of the homeowners, as their representative on the New Columbia Owners Association, we fully support a decision to have the rules of exclusion apply to and be enforceable in McCoy Park. Thank you for your consideration. So that was from Karen Cox. I'd also like to give Ida Cunningham an introduction, allow her a chance to make a few comments.
Welcome, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Hi. My name is Ida Cunningham, and I'm a resident of New Columbia. I live right across the street from McCoy Park. I'm in the park every single day, me and my puppy. And there's a lot of kids over there that like to play with my puppy, so that park means a really lot to me. And I know the fact that there are people that come from other areas that come out there to the New Columbia, because once upon a time, it was Columbia Villa, and it was a bad-known territory. Bad known. I worked in the New Columbia for a year or so for PCR Treatment Center. And, you know, just since I've been here, I've been in New Columbia for 2 years living. And one kid was shot in the front of my house. And I was later informed that these were not people from the New Columbia. They were people, the shooters and the person that got shot was from other areas that had been excluded from New Columbia. And so I would like for them not to be able to come back there at all, or if they are, to, you know, to make them leave again, because parents are afraid of their kids going to the park, and they should not be. It's a wonderful park. It's wonderful. Every weekend, there in the summertime, there's things going on Saturdays and Sundays where families, kids, community, the whole community get together in that park, you know, and that park is just a part of New Columbia. It's the biggest part of New Columbia. And I would like to see anything happen. I attend the community meeting because I want to be a part of that. You know, I want to be a part of whatever it is that's going to help us to be better. You know, we're working on a mission statement. I've never been in a community that had a mission statement. And that's really important to me. You know, where I work, I'm sure there's mission statement, but a community, never. So that's just really a big deal for me. So I just want to be a part of this, and I'm glad that I was able to come here and be a part of this. And thank you for letting me share my little bit of input.
Thank you. Good to see you again.
Thank you very much. How many people have signed up to testify?
Other than Ida and
Is there anyone
Karen
that wishes to testify? Left. Yes, no? Oh. Sue, would you please call the vote on this emergency ordinance?
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank everybody for their work. I'm pleased to support that, and thank you for the powerful presentation, all of you. I also did want to recognize, I didn't know Mark Warrington was retiring to Hawaii, but I did want to say I've enjoyed working with him over 12 years in my tenure as Parks Commissioner, but not only are we losing a great security manager, I'll be losing a great neighbor. So thanks, Mark, and thank you for all your good work. Aye.
Leonard.
In a prior life, I spent a lot of time in Columbia Villa as part of my job. I'm intimately familiar with the unique challenges of now New Columbia, a lot of the challenges of which were inherited from Columbia Villa. And I think it does have, it has as many opportunities to succeed as it does to fail. And I think it's unique amongst Portland communities in that delicate balance. I do think Columbia Villa deserves tools that other parts of the city probably don't benefit from as greatly as New Columbia would, given the challenges in that community. And I have spent time with officers riding with them in New Columbia. So I am very familiar with not only the history but the current status quo. So I'm going to support this approach, but I do it with hopefully some of what my concerns are taken into account by the mayor who's in charge of the police bureau, Commander Ferraris, who's the commander of North Precinct. And that is the successful approach that we've taken with the service coordination team. The one worry I've had about it is it has become difficult to move. It isn't as flexible as I would always like it to be. For example, when we started a couple of years ago experiencing huge outbreaks of prostitution on 82nd Avenue, the first reaction the police bureau had was, let's reinstitute prostitution-free zone on 82nd Avenue. I argued strongly against that approach and rather argued that we take the service coordination team out of Old Town, inner southeast Portland, and move them out there to deal with prostitution. And by all accounts, it had a huge impact on prostitution. I would encourage police bureau to do the same thing in New Columbia. The GET team, the gang enforcement team, is very effective. They use a specific set of tools that I support to deal with what they do, but they don't use the same set of tools as the service coordination team does. They're trained specifically, the officers are picked specifically mm-hmm. for the approach they take, which is basically best described as a carrot and hammer approach. And I think it's proved to be very effective. So I hope that we can use a mix of these tools to help New Columbia succeed, because I know the people there are striving to succeed where life has oftentimes made it difficult to do so. And I think that as a council, we owe that community every possible approach, and not just one or even two, but every possible approach to make them as safe as possible in their community. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you all for your testimony, for your hard work, and thank you, Ida, especially for pointing out that the shooter and the person who was shot in front of your house were not living in New Columbia. So what we're doing here is making this whole area a safer place, and it's not a place where people are welcome to come from elsewhere to do bad things. And when we know that we have folks who have done bad things, that we don't want them to come back to New Columbia or to come to New Columbia sometimes with no connections. So this makes a lot of sense to, if folks have been excluded by due process from the properties, from the homes, then to exclude from the park as well, giving the police the tool of being able to arrest and getting into the jail system like Commissioner Leonard has outlined and possibly getting into treatment. So thank you very much. Thank you, Angela, for the work of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement in the Crime Prevention Program. Our earlier presentation talked about getting 10,000 people to a community event. We just heard tonight about this morning about 1,000 people coming to the Neighborhood Night Out picnic. These are all things that the Office of Neighborhood Involvement is involved in, and I really appreciate your work. And then, ma'am, with your son sitting there in the audience, I assume, I am very impressed. I have sat with my young sons, and I appreciate you being here in support. Yeah, at least I assume that that's what you're here for. So thank you, young men, for watching Democracy in Action. It's very impressive that you're able to sit there without squirming.
Fish.
First, I again want to offer my thanks to Mark for his service to the city, and he will be greatly missed. And we will look forward to celebrating next Friday. I want to thank the mayor, who has held, I believe, at least 2 community-wide meetings at the New Columbia. And for those who don't think that a commission-style former government can work very effectively in a crisis time, well, what I will tell you is that if a mayor jumps in and says this is important and all the bureaus need to link arms, you can actually do great things. And we've made amazing progress. And for those of you who ever doubted the power of SEPTED and what ONI can do, I mean, I go over to Lincoln High School, go to McCoy Park. I mean, Amanda could probably give you a list of places throughout the city where simply by trimming bushes and trees differently and creating new sight lines and adding lights and other things, we know that we can discourage bad behavior and give citizens more tools. This summer, I went to one of our summer concerts that we ran throughout the city in McCoy Park, and it was a very large turnout of people who both lived in the New Columbia and the surrounding community. And it was a beautiful evening, and I want to use this moment to thank my colleagues for supporting funding for programs which have made a difference there. Because this council, during a tough budget cycle, made tough choices, we were able to offer a summer playground program with meals for hungry children. We have, in the last few years, been able to make improvements at the University Park Community Center, which is one of the jewels in our system. We've been able to build a partnership with the Boys and Girls Club and with Janus, and that community garden that is thriving there has received city support. The Mayor's Office of Youth Violence Prevention and the Police Bureau have worked very effectively with the community. We've had rock climbing, and we've had community cycling come in and give away bicycles and helmets. There's been this enormous community response to a tragedy and part of community building. And I was on the board of the Housing Authority of Portland when we first launched the vision for the New Columbia. And a lot of people were skeptical that this would work. And in fact, one of the things that I never forget is that people said, you're crazy to add home ownership opportunities on the site, because who would buy a home in a community that has a mix of affordable housing? Well, people bought the homes. The problem is they're now no longer affordable to working class people in that community because there's such a strong market because the houses are so well built and they're attractive. We have the pieces in place. We have an elementary school that gets good results. We have a rec center, a park. We have the Janus connection with the city and county and PDC at the table. We hope someday to have a grocery store there, which we're working on. And we have in HAP a great partner, which is trying to bring a vibrant community to people who for so long were denied that. One of the first times I ever met Randy Leonard, probably the first time I met Randy, and we talked about this subject, he reminded me that when he was a firefighter, the biggest challenge about Columbia Villa was how to figure out how to get into the community, because there was only one place you could come in and one place you could exit. And for a fire truck, that was not an optimal situation. And one of the things we did with the New Columbia is we connected the street grid to the surrounding community, and now it is part of the community. So today, in addition to all the leadership steps the mayor has taken to respond to the tragic death of Mr. Moore. We add another piece, which is, I think, a common sense piece, to take the exclusion action that HAP takes subject to very strong constitutional protections and adopt it in the park, so we are not, in effect, creating a safe haven for bad actors who have already been determined that they don't belong in the New Columbia. Based on the concerns that my colleagues have raised, which I share, I will commit to reporting back to Council in 6 months on how this program has operated, the number of people, whether we've had any challenges